Well, hello there, and welcome to the program. You have tuned in to the Becky Book Show, and I'm so glad that you're here today and you're going to spend some time with us and hear some, I believe, testimonies and elements of ministry that I believe will bless your life and encourage your heart. So I'm so glad that you're here. I'm Dr. Robin Gould, and I am going to be your host for the next couple of hours with a wonderful guest that we have today. First, let me introduce myself a little bit and give you a little background on what Becky Books are in case you are new to the program. So what I am, as I said, I'm Dr. Robin Gould, and I am a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I also have a doctorate degree in religious education. So my heart is for attachment work. That's what I deal with is attachment theory. And I'm, of course, very invested in the covenants of the Father, as I believe those are, that is the ultimate attachment and his love for us. So the Becky Book Show is just a great forum for me to be able to share a lot of these things, bring people in. Bring in the authors of the Becky books and other women authors that that we believe really represent the larger picture of the initiative of what Becky books are. And so what Becky books are, in case you have never seen one or gotten one, are their resources. These are books that are written by women authors about the basic and sometimes even a little more than basic topics of the Torah. These resources are designed to be very inexpensive and shareable so that you have a resource very easy and ready to give to your coworkers, your loved ones, your family, your friends, where sometimes it's hard to, explain some of these even basic topics. We talk about the dietary laws, which seem basic, but are actually a little bit more fraught with misunderstanding than people might think. And it's nice to have a all together written resource book for that. And so we have books on the Sabbath. We have books on the Jewish sources, how they came about, what they are. A book about the Messianic service, in case you've never been to one, if that seems intimidating to you. A book on celebrating the new moon. Different topics of divorce and remarriage in the Bible. That's one of my books. And these books are written from a friendly and non-judgmental stance, but really biblical and vetted out in academic. And yet, really, I believe most of them can be read in one sitting. So it's not like you're inundating your the person you're sharing with enormous amounts of information that are going to overwhelm them. But at the same time, it does take each topic and go into depth. So that's what the Becky books are. They're priced very low. You can find them on Amazon. And so I'm hoping that you can check out the Becky books. It's BEKY. It stands for Building and Encouraging the Kingdom of Yeshua. And that is our goal. So I pray today you are built up and encouraged by what we are going to share today's program. And I want to get right to it because I have such a wonderful guest and I believe she has so much to share and bless you with. Our title today is called Sometimes God Heals Through Sickness. And that might be something that surprises you to hear, or maybe it doesn't. But to a lot of people, they view sickness always through the lens of this is a bad thing or this is not the will of God. And that's not really always the case. And many times it's not the case at all. So I have a wonderful guest. I want to actually read a little bit of something that she wrote that blessed me tremendously. She's a beautiful writer. I'm going to introduce her in a minute, but her name is Bonnie Manning. So before I bring her on, let me read. She was writing an article on her website, which she will share with you when she gets on the program. And she was talking about kind of this common response to when people have illnesses that they must be in sin, wrapped up in something wrong. There's something unconfessed in their life. And so she writes this, and I find this just touched my heart so much. She was talking about being in a fellowship where there was sort of that implication from the pastor that maybe in his well-intentioned way that there was something he was thinking was in her life that needed to go or something like that. And that basically all sickness in general was something that was the root of evil, so to speak. So I'm going to quote her, and this is Bonnie Manning. Before I bring her on, here is what she wrote. The following Thursday night Bible study was quite a shock for me. I waddled in on my cane, and there was the pastor with one shoe off. His right foot looked swollen, and he was using a cane. Gout had set in his foot. Had God allowed this to happen for a reason? I wasn't sure, but I felt quite relieved that a minister that I deem to be very holy could also go through pain. And I'll just add here that Miss Manning has struggled with her own physical challenges, which is the genesis of this piece that she's writing about. It was a confirmation, and I'm back to quoting her. It was confirmation that perhaps it happens to the best of us. He spoke about how his gout had caused him to get still before God because he couldn't go to work. How he had a wonderful time in prayer at home resting. Sickness can be an unusual friend at times. And she goes on to say that the chapter that I'm quoting from will enlighten you about scriptures, and your eyes and mind will be open to sickness in a manner you may have never been taught. Have you ever wondered who the first person to become sick was written about in the Bible? Job would be the first, and I believe the next person written about was Jacob. After Jacob wrestled with an angel all night, his hip was out of socket, and he walked with a limp afterward. Indeed, he walked with a limp until the day his sons buried him. Hosea says about Jacob, "Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed." Hosea 12:4. Perhaps you have never pondered Jacob's hip being out of socket. The devil had nothing to do with maiming Jacob. It was an angel. We have been taught that angels only protect us. This one wrestled with Jacob and injured him. Unquote. Very interesting. She said, a very interesting woman. I've had the pleasure of meeting her at several events and reading things she's written, which is beautiful writing, and from the heart, a very spirit-filled woman. And her name is Bonnie Manning. So I wanted to welcome you onto the show, Bonnie.
Hello, Robin. It's such a blessing to be here today. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, blessings all ours. We are so thankful you're taking the time to share today. I'm always excited when I see you. I've always enjoyed talking to you. I don't think I've ever had a conversation with you where I haven't gotten something out of it that has stuck with me forever. So that's a good track record.
Well, the feeling's mutual. Yes. I know the first time I heard you, you were actually talking about sickness and your own journey with your spouse, and it really ministered to me as well. So this is a topic that sometimes is not shown in the light I hope we can bring forth today. And I know that I have a lot of people right now in my own life who are going through sickness, or they have loved ones going through sickness, devastation, you know, losing everything due to sickness. And so we want to encourage them today and hopefully show a side of this that's really a blessing.
Yeah, I think so. And I think you are absolutely right. I'll let you share your background as well, but I'm married with someone that has a chronic illness, and it's not generally understood by the masses in a lot of ways. And it can be very difficult when people don't understand. And so that's why I thought this was a great topic. Sometimes God heals through sickness. And my website is www.newcovenantpath.com. And I have a blog actually up this week. I just put it up the other day. And it's called Learning to Know the Difference. And I kind of delve into how we never really can always predict the way the Father is going to teach us something. And it might be through things that we would view as unpleasant and want to step aside. But there is a piece of walking through things. So, Bonnie, why don't you tell us about yourself? Let our listeners hear you and what you come from.
Well, let's see. I was basically raised in church my whole life. I was very dedicated, even as a young girl, to read the Bible and study it. I always had a great love for it. And as I grew older, I sort of got into a backslidden position and ended up marrying someone who was abusive in many ways, financially. He was just broken, and I was broken as well. And years later, after I divorced him, I was trying to get back on track with the Father and just yearning to become whole, because health is not just physical, physically, you know, something that we need, but it's mentally and spiritually. And I believe it's a full package, what we put into our temples, being healed from things in our past and so forth. And so eventually in my 30s, I had remarried and was in a very dark place, and I was crying out every day. I had been sexually assaulted before this marriage, and I was drinking to try to numb the pain. And every day I would wake up and pray and read my Bible and cry and say, "Father, I don't want to live like this. I need you to heal me." And one night, in the middle of the night, I heard a voice that sounded like all the water in the ocean just pouring into my bedroom. And the voice said, "Get your house in order." Just a small, you know, just those small amount of words, but I catapulted out of the bed. And I remember thinking, you know, am I hearing God? Is this God? Is he trying to speak to me? And I looked out my window and there was a full moon, and somehow I knew that the voice I'd heard had hung that moon in the sky. And I laid back down and I was shaking all over and I was just crying out and I was saying, "Father, is this you? Is this you?" And I went to sleep. I was in this sleep-like trance state. And I began to get the first chapter of Bereshit, Genesis, downloaded in my spirit like I'd never had. And as the verses were being read, it was as if the Father was saying, "I'm a God of order. I gave you life. I didn't give you life to just throw it away, just to waste it on the, on, you know, I gave you life for a purpose, and I'm a God of order, and I want you to get your house in order." And I woke up the next morning and I was a completely different person. I had this fear of a God I thought I knew, but I never really knew in this way. And probably for several days, I didn't really even talk to anyone. I was scared to tell anyone. And I just began to soak up his word. And shortly after this experience, that really changed my life, I started getting very sick and scary things were happening in my body. It was like, you know, I couldn't finish a shift at work. I was too fatigued. I was having muscle spasms. I started falling into everything, started slurring my speech, and I was going to the doctors and they were sending me to specialists, and the specialists were saying they thought I had multiple sclerosis. And so at one point, Robin, I got out of bed. It was my birthday and my legs buckled under me and they wouldn't hold me up. And I remember getting up out of the floor and holding on to something and making my way to a chair where my Bible was laying. And I just cried out. I said, "Father, are you taking my life? Is this why you told me to get my house in order?" And I opened my Bible randomly. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that that's something that you can do and the Bible is hocus pocus and you can get an answer. But I opened the Bible randomly. And the first verse my eyes fell on was John 11:4. And it says, "This sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of Yah may be glorified by it." And in that moment, I knew that he had something greater that he was going to do through the sickness. And I wasn't sure what that would look like, but it changed my whole life. It Wow. changed everything about my life.
So in that moment, you were struck with sort of this confidence despite what was happening to you. You had a spiritual confidence while at the same time you had a physical like buckling.
Yes. And you know, it was sort of like a Job experience for me. I begin to lose all of the titles that a person has. I mean, I had a job, I had health, I was in college, I was working towards a degree, and I had, you know, I was a homeowner, I had children, I had a stepdaughter, I had a husband, and one by one, I watched him remove and take everything that defined me as a person, except, unlike Job, my children, thank goodness, are all alive and healthy. But when he, you know, when I was in this place, just laying on a couch, unable, you know, at that time, social media was, it wasn't like you had a cell phone, but Facebook was not on your cell phone. There was no computer on your cell phone. And I ended up spending a lot of time, most of my day, laying on a couch because I was just that sick and that fatigued. And there was a lot of days where I was just crying out to him. I couldn't hold my Bible. I would lay it in the floor. That's how weak I was. I would roll over on my couch. I would read a page. I would roll back over exhausted. But I would, you know, I would look out my door of my home, and my grass was so high. My flower beds were, you know, but the earth was still spinning, and people would call me and they would tell me about their day. They would tell me about sitting in traffic, or they got bad food at a restaurant. And, you know, I would listen and I would think, I was doing all of these things. I was healthy and I was doing everything they're doing. And I took it for granted that I could sit in traffic, that I had muscle strength to hold the foot on the brake, that I could work a job, that I took for granted everything. And all of a sudden, I was not taking for granted anything. I mean, I was beginning to learn to thank him for breath in the morning, thank him for the tiniest things that we take for granted, that I was able to go to the bathroom, that I didn't fall down, you know, that I didn't fall down in the hallway, or I was able to possibly shower that day. I mean, tiny things that we don't think about.
Wow. And what a, you know, that is such a lesson too, because I know my husband and I just, you know, particularly him, had a very similar experience with, you know, you think you have problems, and then you get more problems, and you're like, that wasn't really a problem. And it's interesting too, that you, when you're talking about how basically all the titles, all the props of your identity were falling, you know, off. And in that's, it's interesting because that was a similar experience with my husband having, you know, how it is when you have a chronic illness, you have something that's basically an unpredictable day, right? So you're never quite sure. Right. It's hard to make plans. That's one thing that I've noticed is, like with my husband, I used to just take for granted that I could just make a plan and be there for 2 weeks from now, and I could just be there. Everything would be fine. And then when this came into our lives, there was cancellations happening. I couldn't quite do the things that I did before. And I noticed personally, I didn't ever realize how much I had really sought people's approval by doing everything right, by always showing up, always being the one to save the day, always being the one that was helpful and all that. And I started to realize that when I was really needing grace from other people, like, I actually can't come and teach, or I can't do this, or I can't do that, because we're in a crisis phase of health, where it challenged me to the core of, like, who really am I, you know? And actually, that was a blessing to be able to kind of unearth that, dig that out, bring that into the light, for the Father to remove that from me, that you don't need everybody's approval when you are doing your very best. You're doing your best, and that's all you can do. And so, you know, operating from a standpoint of performance was a way I had been living. Wouldn't have really known that until it was taken.
It's so true. It's so very true. And, you know, one of the things that I learned from the journey he took me on was, you know, once the sickness progressed and I could no longer work my job. I had 3 classes to graduate from college. I got so bad I couldn't drive. My cognitive issues were horrible. I was so sick. I missed classes and had to just drop out. My home went into foreclosure. My husband left the country and never came back. He married another woman. Everything that I had was being taken. And I can remember so many times laying there and having conversations with the father. And I've shared this testimony before, but it's coming back to me for a reason. So I'm going to share it again. It got to the point where, I still had a son at home. He was, maybe 14 at the time. And I still needed to feed him and care for him. And so I had to learn to depend on the father 100%. And he was going to make sure that I knew that he was in control and that he does feed the birds and that he does take care of his children. And instead of looking to man or family, it was like he put a veil over their eyes where all the people that, I needed to help me, I could be sitting in a room with them and they could be talking. And in my heart was screaming, "Don't you know I'm losing everything? Don't you know I'm losing my whole life? Don't you want to help me? Why aren't you helping me?" And one night I opened the refrigerator and there was nothing in there, Robin. I mean, there was condiments. There was ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise. And I remember just falling on my knees and just saying, "Abba, I need to feed my son. I need you. I need help. Why send someone? Tell them to come. Why aren't you telling them that I need help?" And I'll never forget that day. I heard so clearly. He said, "Bonnie, I've told them to come, but they're not coming." And I said, "What? I mean, you part the sea. You make an axe head float. You raise the dead. What do you mean they're not coming?" And he said, "Well, they're not coming. I gave them free will and they're not coming." Mm. And about an hour later, I got a phone call from my ex-sister-in-law. And she said, my dad has been trying to get a hold of you. And my ex-father-in-law is an atheist, but he's a good man. He is very giving. And she said, he's trying to get a hold of you. Now, I had been divorced from his son for, a good, 10 years or more. And I called him and he said, "I feel like I need to come give you some money. Do you care if I stop by today?"
Wow.
And he showed up and he said, "Here's $100 for groceries and here's $100 for something else you may need." And when he left, I heard the father say, "I sent the Good Samaritan."
Wow.
The father made sure that he sent money to me during that whole journey, Robin, from people that were not people that I would have ever expected, so that I knew he was caring for me.
Yes, his fingerprints were right on it, and he made sure you knew it. Wow, that is so, I love that story. Wow.
And I think so many times, during sickness or things in our lives that are going wrong, we can become angry and bitter with the people closest to us because a lot of times they don't realize the severity of the situation. You may look fine and have a chronic illness. You there's multiple reasons, but I also believe in order for, you think about Elijah, whichever one was sent to the brook and the ravens fed him. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah. I mean, waiting. I can't actually.
Yeah. I mean, we freak out and he shows up and the way he does it is incredible because he makes sure that we know that he does care for us. And I learned so much on this journey about relying on him and trusting him at, you know, the darkest hour. And he's never not shown up.
Well, you know, that speaks to a point to piggyback on what you're saying, which is, I think, really the point, I believe, of so much sickness where healing does emerge from sickness. I remember a woman, a nice friend of mine from Vermont years ago, she had gotten breast cancer. And I remember her talking about it to our women's group. And she, I remember her saying, and I remember I was so young at the time, I was really early 20s and wasn't, you know, didn't, it was hard for me to even grasp what she was saying. But she was talking about how, believe it or not, she wouldn't have given cancer back, because basically what she ended up sharing was how through the sickness, she really had come to learn the things that she needed to learn that she would not have learned. She would not have learned if she had not had to learn them. And so it, from my perspective, it's almost like she's saying that she, and she did die and she left a beautiful legacy. But it's almost like she's telling us, like, she died healed rather than living sick. You know, there was a, you know what I'm saying? There was in her work, in her life, there was such a testimony of what had to be done, that this is a difficult conversation. People have had loss and they're so sad. And of course you and I, our hearts go out to that. And we understand if this can be a challenging message for some people to really reconcile. But even in my own life, and it, like you said, in your life, the Father has revealed himself and manifested himself in ways that touch your heart in ways that are so deep. And you might not have ever noticed, right? But you notice these things, you're down to the nub, and then the Father acts. That is so powerful.
It is. And I think, you know, just going through the journey too, I was healed from so many other things. Because of my sickness, I was healed from a lot of insecurities. I was healed from, I was delivered from a lot of unforgiveness and bitterness. And, you know, the list goes on and on and on. But just every day having the opportunity to lay there with him, and I noticed that in the quiet and in the suffering and praising him during it, his voice became louder. His voice, hearing him and communing with him, it became something that I can't even describe, that I never had before, not in all of my, you know, going to an assembly, going to meetings, going to Bible studies, praying. It was nothing compared to this experience. And, you know, also the compassion, I didn't have, you know, if someone would have said, you know, let's pray for this person, so-and-so sick with, you know, cancer, whatever they were going through, of course, your heart goes out to them. But if you've ever suffered with a chronic illness, you never look at sick people the same. I mean, they are like, they are just become, just your heart just goes out to them. You feel a oneness with them. And it's just, I don't know, it's hard to explain.
No, I do. I live it. And it feels so good to extend the type of grace that is required in that situation, because, you know, they are so, they need it so much. They're not always going to be able to do everything they want to do and everything you might want from them. And it's powerful to extend grace. Is it powerful to receive grace? I even know, it's funny, just listening to you talk, it was a couple of years ago at one of our retreats, you really, your words really freed me into a lot of thoughts I had already had, but I hadn't really necessarily verbalized it to people. Like, even we were even talking about this earlier, is like, I would get a cold right? Like a, just like a regular cold where it was a bad enough cold to kind of be in bed a couple of days and get rest, but not really a bad flu or anything. And I remember I would like use social media and say, oh, I'm hot. I'm like coughing and I'm starting to feel hot. And I think I have a cold coming on. And then it would get all of these responses like, you know, this is the adversary trying to derail your ministry and your, you know, you have to take a lot of D3 by the billions and you have to do all these things. And it was like on a certain level in my spirit, I knew that I deserved this cold for rest. Like I needed, I like in a good way, like, you know what? I have such a great excuse to just rest for a couple of days. And the inertia of my life had just been so driven so hard. At one point when I was just traveling so much and I was just always working and just all that. And then all of a sudden everything has to stop. I just have to rest. Now, cold is not to compare with it further with a chronic illness, but just the point and the principle being the same. I rested. I would sit back for a couple of days. I would cancel things and I would just be able to be home and resting and getting back to the center and the core and get in touch with the source, the Father. And it was a blessing. I said, you know what? That cold was the best thing that happened to me all in the last 6 months because I feel renewed and refreshed and even a cold, you know?
It's so true. It really is. And it's almost like a practice for Shabbat, just learning to rest because we are so busy. And before I, you know, became so sick, I was the busiest person. I mean, I was a single mother. I was in college. I was working full time. I was the person mowing the grass, mulching, doing, you know, the banking, the groceries, just running around like crazy. And, you know, just becoming sick, I would not trade 1 minute of it. There's no way that, you know, I can even express what I've learned through the suffering. And I hope that after the break, I know are we coming up on a break?
Yeah, we have about 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, I wanted to share just a couple scriptures, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah.
I, you know, one of the first things I did was during this sickness was I really wanted to search out sickness and even mental health in the Bible. And I wanted to start at the beginning of the book and go all the way through it. My mother had Parkinson's disease. She went on to die of cancer and she was faithful to the Father. And she was always praying for people, always telling people about Yeshua. And she had, and if I named their names right now, everyone listening would probably know them, but she had some of the biggest, you know, ministers pray over her for healing. And it always bothered me that she was not made whole. Not in this lifetime anyway. But so I just wanted to share as I was digging into his word, I was shocked to find out that 2 Kings 13:14 says the prophet Elijah was sick with a fatal disease and he was dying in his disease. Now, this was a man who was able to raise the dead. I mean, this was a man who did multiple miracles. And we read in 2 Kings 13:21, it says, as they were burying a man, behold, they saw a band that was coming of men, and they cast the man into the grave of Elijah. And when the man touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood up on his feet. This man's bones were so anointed that a dead man is revived, yet he died in his disease. And so many times we don't think about just how much disease we have because we're not keeping Torah. We're not planting, you know, we're not letting the land rest in the seventh year. We're not taking care of the fruit of the vine. We're not taking care of our water sources, the honeybees. I mean, I could go on and on about that, but you know what I'm saying there, Robin.
Absolutely. And I think after our break, we should actually go in depth in that about the difference between something that's come on you and something that we bring on ourselves And maybe we can even, I know you even in, I've been reading, you have some examples of both in your lovely writing here. So we can kind of talk about that. There is a difference in these things. I always think like just what you're saying, when it's something that's befallen me, there's a lesson. When there's something that I have befallen on myself, there's still a lesson, but I brought it on, right? So there's, that's kind of how I draw that line in the sand of understanding about there is consequences to sin. And we do suffer because of our sin and the way that we don't follow Torah. Absolutely. And then there's also the anointing of the illness to bring forth whatever has to be brought from the darkness into the light in terms of just our attitudes or even just how it ministers to other people, right?
Totally. Yes. I agree with everything you're saying there. Yes.
Yeah,
very
so
good point.
Going to that in depth because, yeah, so I look forward to that. So, but I think that, you know, it's such a gift that you are willing to be so vulnerable and open and share your experience and, you know, your illness stories, your testimony stories, your miracle stories. So when we get back from our break, we'll go into a little bit more about what the Torah says about this. And from the two perspectives that I just mentioned, we'll talk about that a little further. But I will just be pausing for a break here and then we will be back. So stay with us, please. And we'll see you in just a minute. Welcome back to the Becky Book Show. I'm so glad that you have stayed with us. I'm Dr. Robin Gould, and this is the Becky Book Show, BEKY, Building and Encouraging the Kingdom of Yeshua. If you want to reach me, my website is www.newcovenantpath.com. And we have our beautiful guest, Miss Bonnie Manning. Welcome back, Bonnie.
Thanks.
I have so enjoyed everything you've been sharing, and I feel like it's so helpful. And I actually want to run in 500 different directions in all that we are talking about because there's so much to it. But I want to, before we forget, I want to mention about your books that you write. Can you share about that and your pen name and just give people a little bit of information about your writing?
Yeah, that'd be great. I go by the pen name Tekoa Manning, T-E-K-O-A. You can get all of my books on Amazon Books. You can also get two of my fiction in audio as well as Kindle and paper. I write fiction and nonfiction. I have a fictional book called Walter the Homeless Man that deals with forgiveness, and one called Polishing Jade that has been a tremendous blessing for women who have been sexually abused or raised in abuse. For healing, those two books are Christian fiction. My teaching books are Doctrines of Demons series. I have part one and part two out, and I'm working on releasing part three. I also have a devotional called Thirsting for Water and a book on the Feast of Yahweh. That particular book is called Blow a Trumpet in Tekoa. I just used a pun on my pen name to give a shout out on that. So I also have some blog sites. You can reach me at tekoamanning.com or at newwineskins.net, which is a blog site called Obadiah's Cave, where I also write teaching blogs.
Oh, and they're good. And I really enjoy reading them. So I highly recommend anything that Bonnie or Tekoa are going to write, you need to read it. I would highly recommend everybody to get that. And I have Polishing Jade, and I'm getting into that. And I also getting the audio on Walter the Homeless Man. So the next little trip I take, that's going to be my companion.
Oh, well, let me know how that goes.
Oh, I will. All my friends have read it and love it. A lot of them have talked to me about it. And I'm like, wow, I'm excited. And so, yeah, so let's get into this topic a little more. We were talking about, we have so many ways to talk about this. I'll mention this one thing because it might spring us into our conversation, is that a lot of people, like, they'll have a lot of good advice. And there's this whole sowing and reaping myth that I feel like I know you address in one of your blogs where I really love how you talk about how Paul says a little wine for your stomach because of the water, you know, that the wine being a bacteria killer and killing the parasites. And I love how you say this, and I'm quoting you. We see wine as a medicine prescribed by the Apostle Paul. He doesn't say, Timothy, don't speak your stomach troubles. Don't even claim them. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Tell the devil where to go. No, that doesn't happen. So it's interesting. That kind of goes into that whole sowing and weeping, reaping, which is really that fraudulent accusation of if you're sowing, then you're reaping, which really is interesting because there's this whole idea that it's like even goes into tithing. That's kind of a good way to explain it. People have this idea that if you sow into the kingdom of God, you reap something for yourself. But really sowing and reaping is if you sow in, say you donated $500 to a Bible ministry where they give Bibles away, what will you reap from that? 500 people get Bibles if they're $1 a Bible, right? So you reaped what you sowed. You sowed into the kingdom for people to get Bibles, and you reaped that they got the Bibles. You didn't get a check in your mailbox. They got the Bibles. And people like have that whole thing mixed up that they're not really giving. They're trying to manipulate God to get what they want. It's like God isn't going to be used like that. And so it's the same thing with sickness. It's like, well, if you're sowing into the kingdom, you'll be reaping health. That's not always the case. You know, I know of a person or heard of people that talk about like if a woman head covers, she won't have diseases. I mean, these are just like sort of superstitious ideas that we're going to do something completely unrelated and our healing will come from it. When here Paul's saying your stomach is bothering you because the water's not clean, drink clean water. Drink something that's clean. Very simple, but I feel like that whole mentality of that reaping and sowing really leaks and bleeds into the whole, your illness is your fault.
Well, Robin, it's interesting too that you brought up tithing because in the third year, they were supposed to set aside a tithe for the orphans and the widows and the sick and the poor. So were those people doing something wrong that they were the poor, the sick, the orphan, the thing? So right. I want to read a verse that I had pulled up, and it's from Luke chapter 14. It says, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But they all, like, began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a piece of land. I need to go out and I need to look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I've married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave or servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and he said, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the slave said, master, what you commanded has been done and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my dinner. Now, it's interesting because he names the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame are coming to his feast. And when we read about even the parable with Lazarus and the rich man, Lazarus was the righteous man who went to Abraham's bosom, but he was sick. He had sores. He was poor. He was begging for a crumb. And we're not being taught this in the kingdom. Because, you know, one of the things that's been so misconstrued, like you're talking about, Robin, is, you know, Paul was given a thorn in his flesh, a messenger from Satan to buffet him. And he says that he asked 3 times for the Father to remove it. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Messiah may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Yeshua's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, I've always read that verse, and I thought it said, when I am weak, then he is strong. But that's not what he's saying. Because when we're weak, we're strong because we're relying on him. And Paul is a man who could heal the sick. A man fell out of a building to his death during a very long teaching session, and Paul raised him from the dead. Paul's apron strings could heal the sick, but he was never healed from his eyesight. He was blinded for three.
So powerful.
He was blinded for 3 days, and he never completely got all of his eyesight back. That's why in Galatians 6:11 he says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand." These were not large, lengthy letters. These were large letters, Hebrew letters, written very largely because he could not see.
That is amazing. You know, just reading that, it's what a powerful, absolutely, here he is, he's saying he's content with weaknesses and with distresses and difficulties. And for when I'm weak, I'm strong. And that's actually what I feel like you're doing here today as our guest. It's like, you're not celebrating the weakness per se, except for what it produced, right? You're celebrating the Lord because he knew how to reach you. I remember, what is the artist's name? Oh gosh, what is her name? She is the one that was dove into a swimming pool, and she
paralyzed from the neck.
Paralyzed, and she paints with her teeth. Mm, oh, yes. It's a name that's so common. It's one of those names. It's going to bother me, but yeah. Erickson.
Yes,
Erickson. And she paints, and she says, "This is how the Father reached me, and I sit in this chair closer to Him than when I ever walked." And so her weakness brought her to her strength, right? So it's like almost like there's a difference between celebrating your weaknesses and taking it on as an identity, which is where you get the Eeyores of the world that are always needy and never, ever. But then there's the person that recognizes that there is a distress in their life that is producing fruit. It is ministering to people. It is ministering to them. There is a purpose for it. There is healing happening within them in the real areas that matter. And the other areas you learn to see as periphery, right? So there is a difference in those two things. So that's the line we walk. So I know I've known of people that have had, you know, depression issues that they've really taken on as their identity, or sicknesses as their identity. But the sickness isn't the identity, and the movement and without the sickness isn't the identity. Our identity is as Christ, right? We're as Yeshua is. So that's the piece. It's not taking it too far either direction.
Amen. It really is a balancing act with a lot of, you know, a lot of things like this. And even just, you know, I'm sure there are listeners right now who are going through sickness, and others who are quite healthy, who are going to the gym, they're drinking purified water, they're eating everything organic, or they're trying to do everything perfectly. And I think that's awesome. That's what we all need to be, taking care of our temple. But sometimes, you know, they really don't understand. And I know we had mentioned this before, but I think there are multiple things going on in the kingdom where people need to be careful what they say, because everybody's journey is different. And I know if I would have never gotten sick, I would have never dug into His word with the magnitude I did. I would have never experienced the intimacy with Him that I did, the training. I call it boot camp in one of my blogs, but yeah. I would have never birthed these books, Robin. I mean,
I could tell that when I was reading them, that they came from such a deep struggle.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about what not to say to someone who's chronically ill.
Yes, that is a very good one. And before you bring that list out, I have to say this one thing. So interesting that you heard that voice that said, put your house in order. And you think about your house being you, your temple, your body. And you think about that. It's like, but maybe you could say you're more in order with the sickness than you were when you didn't have the sickness, because you put your house in order.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It's like you did that. That is how that was accomplished.
Wow. Yes.
I definitely have felt that with my husband. My house is more in order now, even though it might not be in order in certain other ways, but the real order that matters that's where we're coming from. So yeah, so let's, that is just something that just, I just felt like led to say that. So,
So true. It's such a great point. And there's, you know, before we get into that, there's also so many verses, even, you know, in the newer portion of our Bibles about people being sick. And I have one pulled up. It's 2 Timothy, and it's Paul speaking, and it's 2 Timothy 4, if anybody wants to read that chapter after, you know, the show. But there were several missionaries who were with Paul, and they became sick, and Paul was not able to heal them. And he even told the people, these men risked their life for the sake of the gospel. And different researchers have thought that possibly they got malaria, possibly, they're not really sure. But he says, Trophimus, have I left at Miletum sick? Now, this, again, this is the man whose apron could heal the sick. This is a man who raised the dead. Why did he leave this one in this area sick? You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then it says he prayed for him all the more carefully, and that they brought him back very carefully. And we never really get the full picture of this person becoming completely whole again. And I think so many times we forget, and I don't care how much you work out, how well you eat, this outward man is perishing daily.
Yes.
It is perishing, and we, you know, it's our.
And you might never know the reason. You might never be able to say this is what caused it. It's sometimes it's not for us to know.
Right.
It's a mystery. It's a mystery, and it isn't benefiting anybody to wring their hands over it. Because, you know, and you think about, like, why did the Messiah wait 3 days to raise Lazarus? I personally believe it was because to show that he could raise him from the dead, because there would be no benefit, no testimony without the death. And in the parts of our life when we're sick, we're raised from the dead in a different way. The parts of us that need to be alive, they don't perish. Where they might have if we had not been forced to stop and take inventory and let the Father heal and restore the real parts of a man.
That's so true. It is so true. I mean, I cannot name the amount of junk that I had going on in my life that was healed, that, you know, just things that deep inner hurts that needed healed. Just, yes. There were so many things. And I know too, that in this life, you can get so stressed out. You can have financial issues, you can have relationship issues, you can have issues with your children, you can be in an abusive marriage, abusive situation, and you can be on high alert like a bear is chasing you every day, and eventually it will catch up with you.
That's right, it will.
Yep. I mean, it definitely will, because these bodies were not meant to take on all of the stress. That's why he says, you know, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear or where you're going to live. And that was, that was one of the greatest things, was just me learning to trust him and, you know, trusting him for everything.
Yeah, I actually had a friend who had to have a hip replacement at a young age, and there's just, you know, sort of this whole idea of get behind me, Satan, sort of a thing. When in reality, the experience, this really busy, overachieving, accomplished woman said it was so interesting. For the first time, she had to rely on other people, and she realized how she had never relied on other people, and she needed a moment to rely on other people so that she could receive. She had just given out until she was starving and didn't even know it. And believe it or not, her hip replacement healed her.
Wow.
She felt like that healed her heart and parts of her life that were so driven toward perfection and performance, you know, you hear that a lot. People, they can do it all. Well, no, you can't. You know, and in this moment, you were given the grace to see you can't.
Yes.
So sometimes it can be grace, really. So let's go into some of your list here. I think that you and I can agree on a lot of these things about the 10 things or however many times we have time to cover about what not to say to a person that does have a chronic illness, particularly for people in the kingdom, that have a chronic illness, right? That they're not shining beacons of the love of the Father, and they're not failures, right?
Right, right.
What are some things?
Well, one of the conditions that, and I don't like talking about my illnesses. I don't try to tell everyone all of the labels that physicians have put on me. One of the things that happened to me during this journey was at one point I went numb from the waist down, and it really messed up my stomach muscles and my colon. And so they pin the tag of gastroparesis on me. And often people say, well, you need to eat raw vegetables. Well, I can't, my stomach won't digest raw vegetables. So, you know, or you need to take flaxseed, or you need to, you know, a multitude of things. And trust me, after like 14 years of this, everything they name, Robin, trust me, I've tried it, and so I know they mean well, and I'm sure that there's probably a small percentage of people who, you know, maybe these people really do help them because the person hasn't done the research, but if you've been as sick as, you know, your husband or my own personal journey, you research and you read and you try to learn about what's going on in your body.
Yes. I had people telling my husband, insisting he just needed a lot of vitamin D, a lot of vitamin D. Well, the particular disease my husband has, vitamin D is toxic to him. So people mean well, and because that's worked for 80% of the people that they know that have had an issue, that isn't the catch-all for everybody. Everybody all of a sudden becomes a doctor. They all become a naturopathic physician. They're all ready. They know all these things. That is not always the case. So you're saying a lot of unsolicited advice can be a little exhausting.
Yes. And I'm on vitamin D right now. So and some of the other things that I've dealt with is, you know, if only she had went to this anointed meeting we had, or if only these really anointed people would lay hands on her and rebuke the devil and cast out the demon of sickness or get to the root of the issue. And, you know, when you really study the Gospels and the Newer Testament, no one is binding anything. No one is casting anything out. They say simple words like arise, arise and walk, be made whole, get up to your, I mean, there is none of that. There is none of that going on. You won't find that in scripture. It's not in there. And so many of these things that I know they mean well, but as we were talking earlier, Robin, my husband, you know, he is retired law enforcement, and he started a ministry, and for 5 years, every week, he went to Children's Cancer Hospital and prayed for children with cancer and took gifts, and he made lasting relationships there with children and even officiated a funeral of one that he became very close to. And those little innocent children did not do anything wrong.
No.
They did not do anything wrong. And who more anointed than my husband to fast and pray for me, who's one with me? Who?
Exactly. Your husband's a wonderful man. Yeah, absolutely. And so this, the implication is you're not with the right crowd. You don't have the right prayer, and you don't have a person godly enough, obviously, praying for you, or you would arise and walk. and you would not have difficulties. So the implication is that your system that the Lord provided you isn't what the Lord provided you. It's lacking, right? So that's the takeaway, is like, okay, so my life is lacking and I'm not getting enough prayer. And it's definitely, don't say that to people that have a chronic illness. That's a very good one. Yeah, that's a very, very good one. And you know, it's funny too, because I'm on D3 too, but who are we to know for other people? So it's funny. It's like, it's just a lesson to us that we don't always know what we think we know about other people. But
well, I think we're all guilty of that. When I catch myself, you know, offering, well, you should take magnesium to sleep, or you know, I'll catch myself from all the research I've done on my own, you know, condition. But again, we can things.
And there's valuable advice because you've walked that. Like, people ask me, who's your husband's doctor? I'm the first person to share it with them. Or, you know, the coral water with the bioavailable minerals that I put in my water. Like, I'll always tell people about these things because it's just literally a basic reset. So there are certain things, you know, you and I are always going to be able to share some general truisms, right? But it's just this whole thing that suggests that if only you were really serious about research and really knew what was out there for you, you'd be better. It's just the implication there.
Yes. And also, I think pity is something, you know, it's either, if you're feeling really bad and they'll say, you know, well, you look great, or you look perfectly fine to me, which implies, this could be mental. There's really nothing wrong with you.
Hypochondriac.
Right.
Almost prove it. Can I see your blood samples? I don't know. You seem like you're okay.
Yeah. And, you know, I never noticed people in scooters or wheelchairs or anything until I got sick. And, you know, praise Abba, right now I am walking and I'm not in a scooter, which I think the last time you saw me, I just gotten out of the hospital and I was in a scooter. But you know, people, even at the stores, it's almost like people ignore you where you're at because they don't know what to do. Like, there's this awkwardness that comes with sickness that it's hard to explain, but you don't want pity and you just want to be treated like everyone else in the room.
Yes, that's true. And also just, I know people that have been riding in scooters and they maybe been in the mall or something, and they will talk about how nobody looks at them. Absolutely nobody looks at them because they don't want them to feel uncomfortable. And so yet they don't exist.
Exactly. You're like invisible. And
invisible.
Yes, it's true. I don't know. We've got to get past this. Or one day, my husband and I were out somewhere and I had just had a round of steroids. I was pretty weak. And so I was in a scooter and a lady approached me and said, why are you riding in that scooter? You look perfectly fine to me.
Somebody said that to you? Wow. Did I just yell that? I'm sorry. All people with ears. That is amazing. That is so, you know, and that is so annoying. Okay, let me just get through that. And, you know, for my husband, too, we've dealt with a little of that, too, that he looks okay to me. Well, but, you know, you haven't seen his blood tests and you don't know biopsies. And yes, and it's very invalidating, extremely invalidating for that person. And my husband's the type of person that he definitely will hide his symptoms and he will keep that sort of private, that he trusts me in that way. And that's just the way he is. And when people will say, you know, you just look, he didn't look sick to me. It's an insult in a way. It's a compliment in that I'm saying, well, he is a gorgeous man. I'm going to go with you there.
Right.
But
right.
There's just that little tiny piece that they wonder.
Yes.
Is he really sick? Yeah.
And also, you know, family mean well, but they will continuously ask, well, what did the doctor say last time? Well, you know, and it becomes, or they'll make comments, different ones have made comments. Well, you know, you have to receive the healing and you have to speak the healing.
Yes.
Well, Paul asked the Father to remove his thorn in the flesh, a messenger sent from the adversary. He asked three times, but the Father said, nope, my grace is sufficient. So I don't really ask anymore. That might sound horrible, but if he wants to heal me, he can heal me. He's healed me from so many things through it. If he wants to heal me, he can instantly heal me, just like he has instantly brought me groceries when I needed them, instantly had people give me cars when I had none. You know, he's taken care of me when I was homeless for a year, every day. So I know that if he wants to instantly heal me, that he can. But,
and you trust that he's heard you when you said, you know, allow no false reason to be in this affliction, but heal me, you know, in your will or whatever. And he knows you prayed that. So the repetitiveness of maybe I just didn't pray it right. You know,
maybe I'm not holy enough. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe right. I've done something wrong. Maybe, you know, and this goes on and on and on. And at one point he, you know, threw me into deliverance ministry, and that ministry can really confuse people. I mean, they're renouncing every person they ever kissed in their life, every book they read that they shouldn't have, they're renouncing all these things to Satan over and over. We're new creatures in him. We have a new identity in him. Yeah. We don't have to go back and do all of that junk.
We're not bogged down by our past. We're delivered into a future with fresh, right, clean linens.
Amen.
That's a powerful message. Just if anyone takes even one thing away today, maybe they can just take that piece, just that piece, that you don't have to go back and re-detour all those roads. You can't re-detour them. You're not in control of the past. All we have is today. We don't know the future. We don't have the past anymore. We only have today.
Right. Right.
So that's a good one. So the unsolicited advice, thank you. And also this whole thing, well, what does your doctor say? It's like you're constantly having to give a public report about your private doctor's appointments because people expect it. It's just common knowledge. Like we always talk about all your doctor's appointments. On some level, it's better to ask, is there anything I can pray about? That's a good way to ask somebody, right? If they want to share. But this, it's almost like everybody wants to go up and touch the pregnant woman's belly. It's like, I hate that. Like, don't touch me. I don't know that well. It's like, I don't want that. You know what I mean? It's just a little bit of a violation of the privacy.
Well, I don't know if this happens to you guys, but I know it happens to us occasionally. You know, let's say we plan a trip to go. For instance, we went to the Women of Valor conference, and before that conference, I knew that I had to rest. That means I could not overread, overwrite, overextend myself on social media, that I had to really rest. I had to really, you know, take care of myself so that I could even get through that. And then sometimes, you know, you're invited to do things with other people, or maybe it's family events, and maybe you just spent the day with someone and then they have an event and they're like, well, you were just with them. Well, yeah, now I'm recuperating. That might take 3 days. I mean,
Yes. Oh, goodness. Yes. We live that lifestyle. Like, people don't understand that there is a withdrawal period. There's a whole, practically half the purpose, I believe, personally, of the illness is the withdrawing. That's a part of what my husband needs. And this is how I believe the Lord has accomplished that. He was always doing everything. Now he can't do that. So there's a recuperation that a lot of people don't have grace for. And because even sometimes you might not be up for a phone call, simple phone call. You're just not there. You're just in some other space of your journey and you're just not there for that phone call. And people might not really understand that. But personally, I see that happening all the time. My husband doesn't want to socialize, you know, a lot of the time. He will definitely do it when he can.
Right.
But there are just limits that he has.
So we want the viewers to know that we're not angry at them. It's not that we dislike them. It's not that we don't want to be around them, or even that we are intentionally not answering their phone calls, because I can relate to that. I mean, many times, almost all of my phone calls are on speakerphone because holding the phone is exhausting. And I know that probably sounds crazy, but it's, you know, my arm just, it feels exhausted. So, yeah. Just to let them know that it's nothing against them or the fabulous event they're having, or, you know, and also
like they are important. It's just that
right.
There's a piece that is, there's a piece of rest that needs to be embraced. It's as simple as that. It's nothing personal.
Yes. And I think we need to remember, too, men and women who are doing some kind of ministry that have illness, and, you know, we need to pray for the body. We need to pray for each other. We, you know, when I'm feeling my, you know, just feeling horrible, I will try to remember people I know that are suffering far greater than me and lift them up in prayer, because it helps take my mind off myself.
Yes.
And I'm hopeful that someone is doing the same for me, Robin.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. I think that's a very good point to segue us into our next segment. I'll take a break here, and then we will have our pause. And then when we come back, we will continue on the Becky Book Show to talk to our wonderful guest, Bonnie Manning, with our title today that is Sometimes God Heals Through Sickness. So when we come back, we will rejoin Bonnie, and we're enjoying her so far, so don't go away. Yes, welcome back to the Becky Book Show. I'm Dr. Robin Gould, and I'm so glad that you've come back to our program today that's called Sometimes God Heals Through Sickness. My website is www.newcovenantpath.com, and if you subscribe, you will get my blog will be sent to your email. You can go in there right now, and kind of relevant to this topic is my latest blog. It's called Learning to Know the Difference, so feel free to go and check that out. And so I'd like to welcome back our guest, Bonnie Manning, who's here. Are you there, Bonnie?
Yes.
Oh, good. I'm so glad that we still have you for another segment. This is a blessing for our listeners, as I'm sure they're really enjoying getting a lot out of what we're talking about. So we were kind of going through your list of some things not to say to people with a chronic illness. And I wanted to interject just to make sure we don't forget. I wanted to mention something about caregivers. People that are helping, and I don't even like to say caregivers, I mean people that are journeying these things with their spouse and loved one and their family. So there's a couple things. If you are a person, you know, a caregiver, a person who's caring for someone and helping somebody through a journey of difficult affliction or difficult pains or challenges or however you want to word that. If you are one of these people, remember that this is your journey too. And so there are things that, even though you might not be the one with the illness, if you're called to carry that illness with your loved one, there's things in it for you. There's a learning curve for you. There's healing in your life that will happen. And I can speak from personal experience that just dealing with my husband's illness and just how, you know, scary, particularly at first when you get that horrible prognosis that didn't come true, but you get that terrible news and just the intimacy that developed between the two of us that we, you know, you think you have all this intimacy, but really in those moments in that waiting room for those results, boy, intimacy ticks off like a big freight train.
Yes.
You know, you're in this together. It's such a blessing. And there were things that my greatest fears were being realized. And the father's like, we're dealing with your fear. It wasn't just my husband that was learning things. I was learning things. I had to learn to say no. That was something I didn't ever know how to do. And I realized I had almost my own little Messiah complex. I could save everybody. Needed to get rid of that. So there are so many things that have come out of it for, and I'm sure your husband has in his own world, so many testimonies of his own heart in caring for you. And you know, I just to speak to your husband, he's such a wonderful guy. I was just want to share with our listeners that we were at the conference, the Women of Valor conference, and he was there to help you and so that you could participate and be a part. And I remember one morning you guys were having breakfast and he had all this going on, helping and doing things, and my laptop broke and I needed like your iPad or something. He's sitting there eating breakfast. He's taking care of everything. And I come up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do. My laptop just broke. And actually I'm approaching you just for prayer because I know that the Lord hears your prayers, Bonnie. So I was like, and you know what he does? He jumps up from the table and just doesn't even finish eating. He just runs and grabs his iPad. He's back in 4 minutes. I don't know how he did that. And then I was able to continue on because he had that servant's heart. He was just like, well, let's see what I can do. And it was such a blessing.
Well, you know, I don't like to use the term caregivers either, but you all are servants and you do have servants' hearts. And I know personally, this has made us become so one. And one of our prayers when we were dating was, you know, make us one in the spirit, make us one in every way. We want to be one. And if you've ever prayed that prayer, expect to go through some things, because going through trials and going through, you know, heartache and different things will either make you bitter or make you come together. And, you know, just as you were talking about your own journey of being a caregiver, I was just picturing my husband. I mean, one time I had to get a spinal tap at the Mayo Clinic and he was right there holding my hand. And the lady that was doing it was in training and it was her first attempt to do a spinal tap. And the instructor was standing by her and she ended up jabbing me and poking me wrong. And if you've ever had a spinal tap, you can't move. You really can't breathe. You're just kind of stuck there. And all I could do was silently cry. And he's standing there praying. And, you know, through this journey, he's always just, he's standing there praying for me. And when I have good days, Robin, I spoil him rotten, because that's all of the energy that I have, you know, that I'm not trying to pour out in ministry. I try to conserve for him, to make him special meals or just, you know, special things for him, because he has been such a blessing to me. And I don't ever want him to just get stuck in that role where the relationship is just about sickness, because it's so much more than that.
That's right. And just as you are, you're a blessing to him. In your good days and your bad days, you are a blessing to him. Because in that journey, there are pieces for him that he needs and healing he needs that you care. So just remember that. I'm sorry. I just had to say that. Just as you are blessing to him.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we don't, the word caregiver sounds condescending and like not even remotely, it doesn't denote the intimacy and the special trust that the Father imbued in that person to journey with this, in this sacred walk, you know, this sacred journey, of every day surrendering and every day embracing. It's a beautiful piece. So yeah, I feel blessed in many ways from things that I've learned and sicknesses that have been healed in me through what he's been sick with. And wow, just learning to hear the voice of the Father in the ways that he does, where he helps me protect my husband. That was huge for me. Wow. You do talk to me. You must love me, God, you know, just that even thing blessed me. So
yes.
See that. Now let's get back to your list. You have some very good advice. So we went through a couple. Let's do another one.
Sure. Go for it.
So you have a good list. I'm thinking I actually have your list here. Let's bring one up. So, oh yeah, perhaps it's mental. Yeah.
That's a problem. It really, you know, or either that, or a lot of times I think people often assume, especially if it's a woman, because even doctors will say, well, you're just hormonal, you're just depressed, here, take this antidepressant. You know, when I the very first time I got sick was with Graves' disease, which is a thyroid disease, autoimmune disorder, and It's where your own body attacks itself. And so many times the Father has shown me that that's what we do. His body is attacking each other, and how we have to become one and unified and quit arguing over the petty things and just, you know, come together as one. And he's used the sickness in so many ways to show me things that are just pictures of his body. But, you know, when people imply that, or, you know, you overhear things, no, trust me, no one wants to become disabled or go on disability or drop out of the workforce. Or, you know, if you want to get attention from a spouse, there are healthier, if you're healthy, there are plenty of ways to get attention. If you know what I'm trying to say, this is not something that, you know, there's a reward involved.
Yes. It's not what people are choosing actively, because they feel like it's, and I think people think that a lot of illness is by choice. And like you say in your list, like maybe you just need to have more faith and accept healing. Maybe you need to find a better church. Maybe you don't have the right people praying for you. Maybe you have a spiritual sickness. All of these things that people are saying, that all implies that it's something you're doing wrong. It's a choice that you've embraced sickness in your life, and now that's how you are.
Yeah, and let's just take that and go into another direction with it, because how many times do you hear, and I know, you know, when I was in the charismatic church, which I was born and raised in, you know, well, it's just the devil. Well, it's the devil, this and that. Satan, yeah. Ha-Satan. Well, who sent the plagues on Egypt? It was not Ha-Satan. He's not that powerful. Sorry. Who sent the tormenting spirits to King Saul? Well, it wasn't Ha-Satan.
Yeah.
You know.
And who made the blind man blind that hadn't even done one thing wrong at all?
Yes, and what a great verse, because it was to show his glory, to show. Yes. And we hear so many people say, well, by his stripes I'm healed. But you know,
I find healing. It doesn't necessarily mean your physical body.
Yes.
And we're not trying to say God doesn't miraculously heal people, and that there isn't that isn't part of what our prayers are. We're not ever saying that. We're talking about the judgments on illness, these sweeping generalizations that say that all illness are rooted in spiritual problems and flesh lusts and issues like that. That's not always the case.
I believe that God does miracles every day. I mean, I have a new grandson. He is a beautiful miracle. You know, there are miracles happening all around us every day. And most of the time we're so busy, we don't notice them. And I believe he still heals. If somebody's sick and I'm with them, and if they want prayer or ask for it, I'm going to pray for him to heal them. But healing is also, we need healed from so many things. I mean,
yes, we need internal spiritual healing and personal healing. We need things that were buried in us and wounds to be brought out into the light. And that isn't just something that happens on a sunny day. Sometimes we have to be reduced to a place of stillness to be able to reach and access these areas of darkness. A pain that we've experienced, maybe someone's inflicted pain on us, and we have, you know, I've learned a lot of things in my own personal life that were wounds that I carried that were manifested through my journey with my husband, and I was healed through my husband's sickness in many ways.
Yeah, I've been healed through just a lot of things that, you know, my husband has ministered to me during this journey and has helped me, you know, find healing in areas that were needed greatly. But I think, you know, also this morning as I was sharing something on one of my sites about just the verse, by his stripes we are healed, or by his wounds we've been healed. Because 1 Peter 2:24, he says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. Now, he's quoting from Isaiah, who was sawed in half. He was sawn in half. And then we don't even, you know, we forget about John the Baptist. He loses his head, and all the disciples, you know, Yeshua says, can you drink this cup I drink?
Right.
And, you know, we're praying to be just like Yeshua. Oh, I want to be just like him. Well, yeah. Can you drink the cup of suffering and sorrow and rejection and pick up your cross and get on it? And I mean, yes. It's a journey. It's
yes, because Joseph sat in prison, was falsely accused because he had the favor of God on him, which is true. The favor mm-hmm. of God doesn't always look like the perfect picture of everything cozy on a cushion. It's often, you know, a lot of it is a cup to drink. Exactly. That's such good examples. I think this is really helping our listeners, whether they're in a illness situation themselves, or if they're journeying with somebody in that process, or if you just know people that have chronic illnesses, to pray for them daily, to not blame them, to be aware. And this is the biggest piece for all of us, I think, is to be open that we don't predict what the Father does. We know it's always going to be good, but we never know what that's going to look like, ever. We never would have even imagined half the things that ever happened in the way that, think of all the battles in the Bible that were won through such weird ways. Like, just so many different examples in the Bible where something very small was used as something really huge. But we can never put God in that box and say that we know how he's going to work something out. It's almost never the way we think it will be.
So true. Very true. Yes.
That's been the story of my life, let me just tell you. But then you see it through the back door and you're like, wait a minute. I was so manning the front door. I didn't realize 38 amazing things are in the back in the kitchen.
Right. So true. And
front door mentalities.
Yes. Yes. And I think there's something to be said too about just, you know, having a servant's heart, looking at the sick in a different way, looking at, you know, we have got to start honoring the elderly, seeing what we can learn from them, what they have to offer. And I think it's the same way with the sick. And I'm not trying to say, oh, I know you should come to me for knowledge. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I've learned so much from other sick people. Yes.
And also just the trial you've been in yields wisdom. It's just the way it is. What my son says in the Marine Corps, a burned hand is a learned hand. You know, it is a very true reality. That's not you promoting yourself. That's you promoting the process of how things work. You're embracing the way it works.
Yes.
I think that extends also to just like grief, just people that are grieving, and not to judge that process. That's what my blog was about. The learning to know the difference was when I went through the grief of my son going to the Marine Corps and how that brought up so many things from my life that needed to be healed. And there were a lot of people that judged my grief. They felt like, what are you so upset about? But you don't know what people are going through. You don't know that, you know, what sort of threads are being tugged through whatever experience that they are grieving that needs healing. And that is nothing to be dismissive about. People go through legitimate grieving, challenging things that maybe you aren't challenged by. Maybe it wouldn't bother you if your son went to the Marine Corps. Well, it bothered me, you know, but I'm not you. You're not me. It's like, we can't live our lives comparing ourselves to other people because we really are putting ourselves on such a pedestal that we're the example of all shining knowledge when really we're all in this journey on our own road.
That's so true. And I think if we were honest, we would all, you know, can think of a time when we judged people or were just like, suck it up, or, you know, we weren't wearing their shoes. We weren't experiencing their experiences. We, you know, on the outside, you know, we're looking in and we're just, you know, that's, I mean, that's a daily battle for me, is healing my tongue.
Yes, I know. I know.
I mean, if you can lay hands on me and pray for this tongue, I mean, you know, or the thoughts, you know, just,
yes,
there's just so many things that I'm still, you know, trying to become healed from, right?
Well, we have our own like personal biases that put us in our own cage of our own closed-mindedness. So we have we don't connect with others in the way with empathy. We either try to fix them or we dismiss them. But really, in many cases, but when we can actually just empathize with, you know what, I don't know that particular experience, but I felt that way before in another one. And you find a place in you that connects with what that is. And then you're together. That's how the kingdom is brought together. It's not through judgment. It's not through people saying, well, I didn't experience that, so why should you? By realizing that we're not all the same flower.
So true.
We're a meadow, right? Imagine a salad with all radishes. I mean, we're not all the same. We have different experiences, different ways that these experiences manifest in our lives, and different things it tugs at because of the epistemology of what we come from and what makes us us. Very, very important. And I do believe that when these, particularly between a husband and a wife, when this is a spousal issue, you know, I would say to my husband that, you know, your journey has brought me more healing than it's brought you sickness, even though I'm so sorry that you're suffering. But I always try to remind him, like, I would not have learned things I needed to learn. And I would have died sick in that way if I hadn't had the opportunity to be blessed by his journey.
Well, that's a beautiful way to look at it. I mean, that's a very positive way to see it. And I know I've learned a lot today listening to you share and just talking to someone who is in the position like my husband is, you know, and hearing the things that you're saying, it's very comforting to me. And I think it's been really helpful. So,
well, if it's helping you, I'm hoping it's helping others too. And that you're, and you know, it's that's just even that piece right there, that humility that I feel like you carry, is that, you're in the moment on the air live. You're like, wait, I'm, you know, my heart's being activated. My healing is happening as we speak. You know what I mean? Like there's healing in your world. Like right now, this conversation, you're saying it's healing me. You know, that's the piece of healing that I feel like is the big celebration and the miracle.
Well, we just need the body so much. We need each other. We need to encourage each other. And we need to, you know, I feel like this movement, we gather for feast days, but we need to be gathering just when we can, with who we can, so that we can encourage one another. We can pray for one another. We can listen. Listen to hear, to learn, to
and not to respond. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I call them feast days and least days. We need both, you know.
We do. We really do. And you know, just put away any insecurities or jealousy or, you know, fears, anything that, you know, you don't have to have all of the knowledge and know everything and speak Hebrew. You know, you just got to come together and love one another.
Amen. Yeah. And actually, as a piece to what you're saying, is in terms of fellowship, a lot of people with chronic illnesses shy away from fellowship because they feel like they can't fully commit the way that a regular commitment might look like with a person who didn't have a health challenge. So they'd say, well, if I'm always having to let people down here and there because I can't attend things or whatever, I don't even want to be involved in a fellowship. And I think that all or nothing thinking isolates people. So I'm hoping that if you're listening and you're struggling with that, that you can be a part of a fellowship with trusted others, with people that you can actually trust, and that you could say to them, there are going to be times where I will be in a set apart state recovering and I won't be able to, you know, live up to every expectation. So could you please not have those expectations, but just accept me.
Right.
You know, and I think that's a message for people that are in a chronic illness, it's like, you are accepted. You are enough. You are worthy. You are special. You are likable. You don't have to do everything perfectly. And that shouldn't preclude you from fellowship. And to fellowships, when people have a chronic illness, like, listen to this list, listen to what Bonnie's saying and hear her heart on this matter. As she's basically really opened up her life today, laid it bare, just kind of spoke about things that have hurt her and things that have scared her and things that where she's been blessed and tremendously, miraculously healed from the inside of her heart to her soul. So I'm thinking that I'm hoping that people that are, I don't, what is the term? Not caregiver. What's the word we're going to pick, Bonnie?
Compassionate partners. I don't know.
Yeah, partners. Because a friend is a partner. A spouse is a partner. Friends, your partners. Yeah. So when you're partnering with someone in their journey, right? That you can realize that you're special. You're honored in this role. You're blessed in this role. And that everything has a purpose. Every day, every breakfast, every phone call, it has a purpose. So we're about to shut our show down here for the week. So do you have any closing thoughts, Bonnie, that you want to share?
Well, just, it was a blessing to be on the show. I've just enjoyed talking to you and speaking with you. And I just pray for everyone listening. If you're going through health issues, if you have a spouse that's going through health issues, a family member, just trust him. He is with you. He knows when a hair falls off your head. He stores your tears in his bottle. And he longs to be intimate with you. And there is healing. I'm not sure what that looks like for you, but there is healing in him. So just be strong and be courageous. And trust the Father. Just trust.
Very, very good advice. Godly counsel, godly wisdom from a godly woman. I'm so grateful to my guest, Bonnie Manning, for being on the program today and just being so open and sharing. And her website again, will you share what your website is?
You can reach me at TakoaManning.com or NewWineskins.net. You can find all my books on Amazon under Takoa Manning.
Excellent. And I recommend them highly. So thank you so much, Bonnie, for sharing today. I hope to have you on the program again sometime. And my website, Dr. Robin Gould, is www.newcovenantpath.com. And then, of course, the Becky Book page on Facebook and on Becky Books, BekyBooks.com. So go ahead and check those out on Amazon. And I'm so grateful that you are here today to listen to this topic that is so close to my heart. And my guest was so open. So I pray that you are blessed by this. And I want to thank you for your time today. And I just would like to just pronounce a blessing on you and just shalom in your life, just that you would be healed of whatever that looks like for you, but that healing is yours. So I thank you, and I hope that we get to be together again next week. Until then, from the Becky Book Show, I will bid you shalom.